It's 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The coal industry has made a new contract offer to the United Mine Workers, which one union official says looks pretty good. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Bernard Shaw has a report on progress in those coal talks from Washington.
The negotiating team for the coal companies has made what it considers a major move to reach a contract settlement. Chief coal industry spokesman Guy Farmer says his side put on the bargaining table a complete total package. Farmer said this is not a bargaining gambit, but rather it could settle all aspects of the contract. While not disclosing any details of the proposal, Farmer said both sides are making what he called a superhuman effort to reach an agreement. And he said a tentative settlement could come almost any time. United Mine Workers President Arnold Miller was not quite so expansive about the offering. He said his staff is working on it. Miller said, "I sketched through it, but I wouldn't want to make an assessment now." Miller did confirm that progress is being made. Another union officer left the meeting early this morning sounding quite positive. Harry Patrick, Secretary Treasurer, said, "I'm very, very optimistic that we can wrap this thing up very, very soon." Bernard Shaw, CBS News, at the coal negotiations in Washington.
Talks are scheduled to resume in the morning. The nationwide coal strike is now entering its second day. More news after this.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to think about some Dubonnet.
It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to drink it is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's the wine you drink to whet your appetite. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Vice presidential nominee Nelson Rockefeller is scheduled to go before the Senate Rules Committee Wednesday morning to answer questions about his financial gifts to friends and officials and his involvement in a derogatory biography about Arthur Goldberg. Rockefeller's nomination is a matter of top importance to others in Washington, as we hear from Roger Mudd.
House Speaker Carl Albert said he has assured President Ford the most important job for the remaining days of the 93rd Congress is to dispose of the Rockefeller nomination.
Well, I expect to vote sometime between now and the 1st of January, and hopefully sometime between now and Christmas.
Albert talked with reporters after his White House breakfast with the president. The speaker indicated the old Congress won't be doing anything about inflation. That, he said, will have to wait until the new Congress arrives in January.
We've sent the program to the committees. And I'm in favor of doing it as quickly as we can. But I know the American people do not expect us to be able, before Thanksgiving, to turn a worldwide inflationary situation around.
Albert said there won't be enough time for the old Congress to do much because it will be taking a Thanksgiving and a Christmas holiday. Roger Mudd, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More in a minute.
Time Magazine. What's in it for you this week? Cover story. The Democratic sweep. Now the morning after. Last week, the Democrats scored their greatest midterm election triumph since 1958. But as one prominent Democrat put it, the heat's on us now. What are the challenges and who will face them? Time puts it all in perspective with an analysis of Republican disasters in the state election. The new gubernatorial scoreboard. The impressive freshman class in the Senate. The new faces and new strains in the House. And the record-breaking number of women elected to political office. In Time's essay this week, some steps to stop oil blackmail. Energy conservation is possible, practical, and essential. And Time catalogs some of the best means at hand for getting oil prices back to normal. In the world, a shocking report by a former missionary and part-time correspondent for Time who was kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured by the Brazilian military police. In show business, Duke and Sister Kate, an offbeat, off-camera look at John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn as they wrap up their first picture together. This is Time this week. Each week, throughout the world, more people get their news from Time than from any other single source.
Yasser Arafat, leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, is reported on his way to New York tonight. Airport spokesmen in Algiers say Arafat and his delegation left several hours ago on board a special Air Algeria jetliner. It's not known when Arafat will arrive in the U.S. He may make some stops along the way. He and the rest of his delegation are scheduled to attend the opening session of the United Nations debate on the Palestine question on Wednesday. Tight security is in effect because of threats to assassinate Arafat and some of his lieutenants. An official of the Jewish Defense League is being held in the Federal House of Detention tonight in New York after the FBI arrested him for allegedly threatening to assassinate Arafat. Russell Kellner, who is the operations manager of the league, reportedly made the threat Monday night at a news conference. Bail was set at $100,000 for Kellner. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Oregon's Employment Division says the state's unemployment rate soared to 7.1% last month. That's the highest level in more than 3 years. Layoffs in the lumber industry are mostly responsible, according to the division. In other local news in capsule form, at least two Oregon mayors say they'll step down rather than comply with the financial disclosure law approved by Oregon voters in the general election. Mayor Earl Johnson, a 56-year-old druggist who's mayor of Warrenton, says his finances are nobody's business. And Ashland Mayor Archie Fry says the measure is communistic. An interim legislative committee recommended a bill today which would require state licensing of all bicycles in Oregon. A $5 bicycle license would be good for 2 years. Searchers have found no sign of 10-year-old Colleen Surian of Lincoln City, who was last seen today drifting toward the ocean on a log. She and a young friend, who somehow made it to shore safely, were apparently playing on the log when it began to drift across Sillitz Bay toward the sea. Those who've had problems getting Kerr canning lids to seal properly have been promised a refund for the lids and for any food damaged by the faulty lids. That announcement made today here in Portland by a representative of Kerr Glass Manufacturing Corporation. 97 Sports, in a game played earlier this evening here on KOIN, John Johnson sank a pair of free throws in the closing seconds to give the Portland Trailblazers a 105-103 NBA victory tonight over the New York Knicks. John Gianelli's tip-in with 3 seconds left on the clock couldn't save the game for New York. The Blazers played without guard Jeff Petrie, sidelined with a groin injury, and rookie center Bill Walton was slowed by flu and saw only limited action. Elsewhere in the NBA tonight, these are all final scores. Buffalo 112, Cleveland 94, Chicago 88, New Orleans 79, Boston 91, Milwaukee 83, and a halftime score, Golden State, was leading Atlanta 54-50. Now in the Weather Department here at KOIN, the outlook for Portland, Vancouver, mostly fair tonight through tomorrow, with late night and morning fog being the only exception. Lows in the mid-40s, highs near 60 degrees, light winds, rain chance less than 10% through tomorrow Wednesday. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 57 degrees at 11:08. Stay tuned now for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater on KOIN.
KOIN.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall, your companion on these journeys we take to the outer boundaries of the unknown. Perhaps the greatest unknown of all is not what exists out there in the nether regions of distant space, but that which beats constantly inside each of us, the human heart. The human heart. It's both a tangible physical organ and also a mysterious, incomprehensible force. Yes, it's the brain that weighs, assays, analyzes. But in the end, it is the heart that decides. And each of us may be surprised by the decision of his heart. Because the heart has its own reasons.
What is it, darling?
Wild animals, Edna. Wild animals and poisonous snakes in particular make me nervous.
Darling, he's safely behind that glass cage. Isn't he beautiful?
Such elegance. He is a symphony in beauty. And death.
I dare say. Would you like to pet him?
Would I like to pet him? Why on earth would I like to pet a 15-foot poisonous snake?
Because he's a charmer. And I can tell by the way he looks at you that he likes you.
What are you doing? You're opening that glass cage.
I'm letting him out.
Why?
Because he wants to play with you.
No. No. Let me out of here. Let me out.
Our mystery drama, I Must Kill Edna, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Elliot Reed. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A free spirit that demands good products. Products that satisfy your sense of good taste and desire for economy. But above all, products that perform. Buick has been touched by this spirit. And this year, our crisply designed, solidly built Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buicks, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
There's a kind of chemical warfare going on. In this war, cancer is the enemy. Our weapon is chemotherapy. Today, the anti-cancer drugs of chemotherapy enable thousands of patients to lead active lives despite cancer. More people can be helped. To keep the research going, send a check today to the Chemo, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Ladies and gentlemen, today our man in the street interview comes to you from Big City, USA. Excuse me, sir. What do you get high on?
I beg pardon?
You know, what do you turn on with?
What, you some kind of a cop? Well, it doesn't make any difference anyhow, because I don't use anything.
Then how do you get high?
Well, I get high on a lot of things, like seeing my kids start to walk, or the first dandelions in the park, you know.
Anything else?
Yeah, getting tired gives me a high. If it's a tired, you know, from something I like bowling with the guys or taking a long bike ride. But, hey, would you believe polishing my car gives me a high? And it's even legal.
In other words, then, it's you get a natural high.
Yeah, natural, that's it. Which, incidentally, doesn't mean that you're high all the time. It'd be unreasonable to expect to be high all the time, you know?
It's like getting high on life.
Sure, but you gotta remember, getting high on life could be habit forming.
This mini interview was brought to you nationwide by the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission.
We are commanded by laws, both human and divine, to tell the truth. But what is truth? If sages, philosophers, and saints have disagreed, what hope is there for us ordinary, modest folk? The ancient Romans actually exempted certain areas of human behavior from the truth. For instance, you didn't have to tell the truth about love. And a famous saying of the times was, "The gods laugh at the lies of lovers." And talking about love, we now arrive at that delicate balance of falsehood and truth from which is drawn all of love's nourishment and sustenance, and to a consideration of Chester Masefield, a lover par excellence. When Chester said to Edna Morrissey, "I love you, darling," he was telling the truth as he saw it and felt it and wished it on that particular day. But let the story tell itself.
You must listen to me, Edna.
Darling.
Yes, darling, my darling, Edna.
Chester.
No, don't tell me to stop.
Be sensible.
Why should I be sensible?
Because.
Why should I be sensible? Why be prejudiced against me? Who else in this mad world is sensible?
Chester, please be serious.
My darling, Edna. Oh, you live in a universe filled with fools and madmen.
Oh, Chester.
No, you must permit me my say.
But a marriage between you and me, it's impossible.
Why?
We've been through it.
Why?
I'm older.
This match was arranged in heaven. I need an older woman. You need a younger man.
I don't need a man who will...
How do you know? You never had one. I had to say that, Edna.
Why? It isn't true. I've been married.
To whom? To a dried-up, decrepit, doddering old...
Chester! He was the soul of goodness. The spirit of generosity.
I'll give him all that. But he wasn't much good for a woman.
Certain things are more important than the fleeting physical attraction.
Darling Edna, you can say what you like, and you can like what you say, but it's a life. We human beings were made for one thing and one thing only, and that's love.
Oh.
Everything else merely fills the rest of the time.
Oh, Chester, can't you ever be serious?
I'm always serious. I'm tending to the serious business of life, which is love. You're the frivolous one, frittering away your time with all sorts of ridiculous projects.
Oh.
I believe you call them good works.
Surely even you must be aware that there are people who are starving.
Ah, but I'm wise to you, darling. I know why you engage in these frenetic philanthropies.
Do you?
You're only trying to whitewash your father.
My father was kind and good.
You? To you alone in all the world. But he sweated and swindled and stole his fortune from the poor, from the helpless, from the ignorant.
That's a vicious...
Now, careful, careful. Don't say lie. But that was a long time ago. And nobody cares. No one remembers. You don't have to give it back.
Chester, what am I going to do with you?
Marry me.
But it simply doesn't make sense.
Darling, please stop objecting so much. Come here.
Oh, Chester.
You see, my darling, nothing, but nothing could ever be more important than this. Do you agree?
I'm not sure. Let's try it again.
And so, we were married. Edna, of course, was deliriously happy, and I, well, I was happy too. It was an exciting, a heady experience for each of us. For Edna, it was an introduction to love. For me, it was an introduction to wealth. There are, after all, very few men in our society whose wives are millionaires, and I had joined this extremely select group. And I tell you, there's nothing like it. However, there was the matter of some of her charities. But if we could have everything we want here on Earth, there'd be no point in going to heaven after we die, would there?
And this, my darling, is our newest building here on Animal Farm.
I see.
It's a serpentarium.
A what?
A serpentarium. A house of snakes.
How fascinating.
Yes. Poor, maligned, and misunderstood creatures. Come, would you like to see them?
Well, I...
Oh, they're all secure behind glass.
In that case...
These are called pit vipers. That's because they have that indentation between the eye and the nose.
Fascinating.
These are all rattlesnakes and copperheads.
Charming creatures.
They are... Lovely, graceful, elegant. And yet mankind will soon exterminate them completely.
Now, darling, is that bad?
Oh, my dear, you're such a barbarian. I love them. They're beautiful, cool, and pleasant to the touch.
My dear, you don't touch them.
I've been told that they won't harm you if...
Yes?
If there is neither hate nor fear in your heart.
Mm. Is it all right if I never touch them?
Oh, Chester, darling. I know you're laughing at me.
I'm doing no such thing. I believe everything you're telling me.
You lie so beautifully. You think I'm a nut. And all these activities of mine...
Oh, I approve of them completely.
They bore you stiff.
No. As a matter of fact...
I didn't marry you in the hope of changing you. Why don't you drive to town today? Have lunch at your club. Do something you like. And you'll come back refreshed.
Are you sure you can spare me?
No. But I'll get through the day. Somehow.
Chester, Chester. Mr. Macefield.
Why, it's Fred.
I thought you'd given up the club for good.
I've been in the country these past few months.
Join me for lunch?
Of course.
I understand congratulations are in order.
Thank you.
Here, she's a lovely woman.
Thank you again.
And money doesn't hurt either.
That is a low blow.
There are no low blows among old friends, only bitter truths.
She's 50. And in what we could consider the soft September of her beauty. I'm 40, and I've decided to retire.
From what?
From love.
From love?
Precisely.
Well, how does one retire
ever
from
since
love?
I found out that we were boys and they were girls, love has been my occupation. My preoccupation. My profession. Other men would say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, a banker, but I would say, I'm a lover.
Well, I suppose you were at that.
Now I realize that love simply does not exist. It's a snare, a delusion, a swindle.
This from you, Chester the lover?
The oasis of love is merely a mirage. I will no longer pursue it. But it was always a lie, a lovely lie. Well, since love doesn't exist, I've decided to settle for happiness.
You sound as if the two are mutually exclusive.
Perhaps they are.
Mr. Caswell?
Oh, my goodness, I had forgotten all about you.
The doorman said you'd be in the dining room, and I said, well, I don't know if I should really interrupt Mr. Caswell when he's discussing important business.
Have you had your lunch?
Well, I...
An aspiring young actress should never turn down a meal. Even if you had lunch, eat again. You may be out of luck tomorrow.
Oh, really, Mr. Caswell? You're so kind.
Yes, I know. Chester, this is Sue Ellen Quackenbush. Mr. Macefield, Sue Ellen.
Hello, Sue Ellen.
Are you a theatrical producer, too, Mr. Mason?
No, he can't do you any good at all. Turn it off, Sue Ellen.
Oh, isn't he terrible, Mr. Mason?
Her father saved my life before she was born. A couple of wars ago. Now this one wants to be an actress, so he sends her to see me. For old time's sake, can I do something?
Well, he did save your life.
Still, it's too much to ask in return.
But you are a famous producer, Fred.
Oh, what am I going to do with you, Sue Ellen? She's a lovely child, but she can't act for beans.
I'm not a child. I'm 23.
Let's order lunch. Now, what would you like, Sue Ellen?
Well, what is this? Beef bourguignon. Did I pronounce that right? I took a year of French in high school.
She looked up from the menu as she spoke, and her eyes met mine. And the very words I had spoken but a few moments before exploded in my brain. That sudden, stabbing shock of recognition when the heart is fatally, but oh so sweetly, wounded by a woman's glance. Is this how it happens? Have I been stabbed finally and at length and for the first time in my life by a provincial schoolgirl? Struggling with French words on a menu.
And la soupe onion, avec croutons, and fromage, and the caf au lait. Well, I must say, this is an elegant apartment. I mean, it's like the movies. Is it yours?
Oh, yes.
That car and this place? Oh, you must be a very wealthy person, Mr. Macefield.
Chester.
Chester? We have some folks in Talbot Corners who are well off, you know, but no one who's actually wealthy.
May I fix you a drink?
Oh, you don't have to fix my drink. Just open a bottle of pop. Well, here we are.
Yes, here we are.
And isn't it just like a book? A simple girl from the country in this luxurious millionaire's apartment. It's like a movie I saw at the Ritz, where they have this...
Sue Ellen.
Yes?
Please, shut up.
Mr. Macefield.
I have something to tell you. I love you.
Mr. Macefield.
Chester.
Chester?
I fell in love with you. The only way people can really fall in love. At first sight. Sue Ellen, please, now say something.
Why? I don't know what to say. Look at me. They'd never believe it back home. Sue Ellen at a loss for words. But this is... Well, it's...
I know. It's crazy. I'm twice your age.
It's just...
Don't say it's impossible.
Well, no, it's just...
It's what?
Well, I just don't know what it is. Because, well, you see, I also fell in love with you.
Hello, darling. Am I late for dinner?
No, dear. As master of this house, dinner must wait your pleasure.
I'm starved. Say, did I see Halliwell's car on the road?
Yes, I'm sure you did.
What was he doing here?
I wanted to sign over some property to you.
Oh, now, darling.
Oh, not very much, just some income. So that you don't have to ask me for money. I think it must be embarrassing for a man.
Oh, darling, I don't think it's right for you to...
Nonsense. Tell me, did anything interesting happen to you in town?
No. It was a rather dull, boring, prosaic day. After all, I wasn't with you.
True, this may sound like the worst kind of male chauvinism, but could a man ask for a better deal? A young girl for excitement and romance? A mature woman for stability and financial independence? Sounds great. Looks good. But the problem with a structure of this kind is that the foundations rest on quicksand. Something will have to give when I return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold.
Yes!
The contract. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid... something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Give your cold to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Madam, can I step inside? You see, I'm taking a survey. We're not selling anything, of course.
Well, if you're sure you're not selling...
Absolutely, I guarantee it. I see you have children. Do they do well in school? Now, if you'll just sign here, madam, you'll receive all 10 items for free, except for the handling charges, you understand. Pennies a day, really.
Wait just a moment, madam. Don't sign that paper. That's a contract. And believe me, nothing in this deal is for free.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, reminding you to read this contract carefully before you sign it. Don't be taken in by the story that anything of value is free. And remember that pennies a day add up to a considerable amount. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
For some people, life is a quest, a pursuit of a goal. There are those dedicated souls who search for the great truths of science, of medicine. Noble spirits who strive to make the world better for their having been here. For years, Chester Masefield has also been a seeker. But his aim has been far more modest. He has been looking for love. For someone he could adore with his heart and soul. Well, aren't we all? And Chester finally found her. And as you can imagine, Chester is deliriously happy. However, there are lucid moments when Chester is reminded of the fact that he is a married man.
But you could get tickets, Chester, honey.
Sue Ellen, that isn't the point.
Oh, it's such a good show and all, and the acting is, well, it's just marvelous. And if I don't get to see good acting, how am I ever going to learn how to be an actor?
Sue Ellen, I can't take you to the theater.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why not?
I just couldn't afford to take the risk.
I know what. Take me to Lauricchio's for supper.
Oh, I'll do better than that. I'll have Lauricchio's send supper here.
What?
A specially catered supper.
Oh, but that isn't the same thing. You don't go to Lauricchio's just to eat. You go there to be seen and talked about and photographed by the media.
And that's exactly why I can't take you.
But I have to be seen. I want to get my name in the papers. I need publicity. That's how I can get an acting job.
Darling, I...
Well, I mean, you know, it just gets to be a drag sitting around here all the time.
I love you, Sue Ellen. Please, believe I love you.
Well, I'd maybe believe it if...
If what?
If you divorced her, married me.
I want to do that, Sue Ellen. You don't know how much I want to do that.
Well, what's stopping you?
If I left Edna, I wouldn't have a nickel.
Oh, it's her money.
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do, Chester, honey?
I don't know. But I know this. I simply can't do without you.
I know, Chester, honey. I know. You'll think of something.
Morning, Mr. Masefield.
Oh, good morning, Arnold. Have you seen Mrs. Masefield?
Yes, sir. She's over at, over at Snake House.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir. Sure goes for them snakes. I mean, I've been working for that woman, must be 20 years now. I've never seen nothing like this.
What do you mean, Arnold?
Well, I guess she found what she's been aching to support all her life. True underdog. Genuine loser. Somebody nobody loves. That's a snake, hands down.
Well, as you know, my wife is a most tender-hearted woman.
Oh, she's a saint. I bless her, but...
What's that?
Well, I think you should talk to her.
About what?
Well, how could I put this? There's a big rattler. They do come large, some of them. But he's just overgrown.
Well, what about him?
He ain't getting bit by a rattler, no peckneck, but it don't necessarily have to be fatal. You follow this?
I can't say that I do.
Well, on the other hand, this ugly critter's got fangs at least twice the normal length. You know, one chew out of them and...
What does this have to do with...
She's taking a fancy to this varmint. She says to me, Arnold, he's so beautiful, if only I could pet him. So, well, maybe you better talk to her.
Maybe I'd better.
Well, after all, she's the only woman.
Edna, darling.
Chester. Oh, I didn't hear you come in.
What are you doing here? Arnold tells me you spend almost all your time in this place.
I simply can't take my eyes away from Nijinsky.
Nijinsky?
I've named him Nijinsky after that famous, I should say immortal, dancer.
I know.
The one who went mad.
Yes.
It's my name for him because his movements are like a ballet. Would you agree?
Oh, yes.
I've made Nijinsky the star of the Serpentarium. He has this huge cage, all to himself. I notice you're dressed for town. Are you going to the city today?
Yes, dear.
Oh, that'll be the third time this week?
Well,
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It sounded as if I were counting.
Oh, some people at the club want my advice on a venture.
I have no right to tell you to stay at my side all day. You should have a rich, productive life of your own.
Oh, darling, I owe these men a favor.
No, you just go ahead. Is it a promising venture?
Well, it could be.
If you need any money, let me know.
Oh, darling, you shouldn't be so good to me.
Why not? I love you.
Come in, Angel. It's open.
stunning outfit. You didn't have to get all dressed up for me.
Well, I couldn't very well call you at your home now. Could I? I mean, what could I have said?
Well, why would you call me?
Well, to tell you that I couldn't see you tonight.
What do you mean you couldn't see me?
Hey, baby, it's the man himself.
Perry Wilson, I would like you to meet Mr. Chester Masefield.
Oh, how do you do, sir? How do you do?
Perry Wilson is the son of Angus Wilson, who's my dad's dearest, closest friend back home in Talbot Corners. Well, Perry and his mother and dad are here in town, and they want me to have dinner with them at the hotel. Sort of like old times at home. Isn't that right, Perry?
Oh, yeah, dinner, and, afterwards we're going to play bridge.
That's right. But you can't be my partner, Perry. You always get so mad when I forget which is Trump. It's really only a game, and you make such an issue about it.
I don't know where you get that flightiness from, Sue Ellen. You know, your folks are such serious people. Shall we be going? Mother and Dad, they like to be proud.
Yes, I know.
Well, I...
Perry, would you call your mother and Dad and say we're on the way?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. It's good thinking.
Sue Ellen.
I couldn't help this, Chester, honey.
I must see you tonight. I'll wait for you here.
Oh, but honey, I don't know...
Please, darling.
Oh, sweetie, it's going to be late. And I'm going to be tired and upset. Because the Wilsons always give me a pain. Especially Perry. We so can see.
But, darling, I...
We can be together tomorrow night. Tomorrow? Why, that's only just a few hours away.
Sue Ellen, I love you.
And I love you too, Chester.
Well, 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 if it isn't Dante. How's Beatrice?
Cut it out.
Mind if I sit here?
You're a member of the club.
What are you doing dining alone?
What's that smirk on your face?
Oh, I don't know. These May and December romances always inspire smirks, leers, winks.
What are you talking about?
Miss Sue Ellen Quackenbush. I understand you see quite a bit of her.
I'm interested in her career.
A fatherly interest, no doubt.
She's a talented young lady.
Yes, and her talent seems to be in getting men interested in furthering her career. Chester, you're talking to me.
See here, Fred, I resent...
Now, drop it. I thought we were friends. But if you want to fill the time with trivia, let's talk about the weather. Fred Chester, I remember what it's like to be 40. The age of anxiety. But it passes.
I don't know what I'm going to do about her.
She's a tough little cookie.
Now, see here.
Okay, let's talk trivia. Chester, people are beginning to talk.
I'm not interested in other people's hypocritical notions of morality. I don't care if they disapprove.
Oh, they won't disapprove. What they will do is worse. They'll laugh. You're starting to become a ludicrous figure.
I know.
Now, you can't afford that, not you, Chester.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks.
That's what friends are for, no?
Darling?
Chester. I thought you were staying in town.
Oh, a change in plan.
Oh, what happened? Let me turn off the television.
No, leave it on. Oh, I just became bored with the city and decided to come home. Tell me about your day.
Oh, you'd only laugh at me. Tell me about yours.
Oh, you'd only laugh at me.
Well, I spent the day being hypnotized.
Oh? By whom?
By Nijinsky. I can just watch him for hours.
I see. Have you been here before? What are you watching now?
Oh, I don't know. The television was on just while I was reading. I think it's one of those celebrity programs.
Oh, it's at Larricchio's restaurant.
Have you ever been there?
It's an old
Good
stamping ground
evening,
of mine.
Everybody. Oh. Welcome to Larricchio's, where you meet the stars of yesterday, today,
shall
and even tomorrow.
If you like.
And let's see who's here tonight. Oh, who is this breathtaking little blonde beauty?
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Isn't
in New York,
adorable.
Pursuing a career in the theater from Talbot Corners, Iowa, Miss Sue Ellen Quackenbush.
Hi. Oh, I'm so thrilled. I feel so humbled to be right here in the middle of all...
you made many friends here in New York.
Well, yes, I've made so many friends.
Chester, you're so pale. What is it?
Are you and Perry Wilson an item?
Chester, you're ill.
Perry and I an item? Well,
let me turn this stupid thing off.
Item.
Now tell me what's bothering you.
Nothing. Nothing.
No, dear, I'm afraid something's very much the matter. Just sit down. I'll get you some water.
I'll kill her. I'll kill her.
They say there's no fool like an old fool. But still, Chester Masefield isn't that old. So how could he be that foolish? The answer probably lies in the fact that a fool in love is ageless, and therefore hopeless. Well, perhaps Chester will be less foolish when I return shortly with Act Three.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine, but Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability. Too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Mr. Masefield is speeding into the city with blood in his eye and a .32 caliber pistol in his pocket. Chester Masefield, a man of the world, has been betrayed by a woman. A slip of a girl, barely out of her teens. But she has wounded him. Not just in his heart, which after all can recover, but in his vanity, which can never be the same.
Chester!
You lied to me, Sue Ellen. You lied to me.
Now, Chester, honey, I don't have the vaguest notion what you're talking about.
I'm so thrilled, and I feel so humble to be in the midst of all these talented people.
Oh, that?
Yes, that.
Well, honey, just what do you think you can do about it?
I can kill you.
Oh, Chester, put that gun away. Back home, everybody has a gun, and we have all kinds of accidents.
I'm going to kill you, Sue Ellen.
Why?
Why? Because you lied to me.
And who says I can't lie to you? What am I supposed to do while you're at home making love to your wife? How am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to think? You want everything your way.
Sue Ellen, I love you.
Oh, fine. I love you, too. But maybe love isn't enough.
What do you want?
Take that tone out of your voice. Don't you make it sound as if I want something unreasonable. I want what I have a right to want. A man I can be seen with. A man I can be with all the time. I don't want a man who's ashamed of me.
But I'm not ashamed.
Then take me places.
But you know I have a wife.
Then choose between us.
Sue Ellen.
It's your problem.
Wait for me.
Why? What is going to happen?
I don't know. I'll think of something. Please.
Well, all right. but I don't want to wait forever.
I had the gun in my pocket. I'd rushed out of my house filled with an insane rage to kill. But the moment I saw her, heard her voice, touched her hand, I knew I couldn't. I knew I couldn't kill her. And yet, if I wanted Sue Ellen, I would have to kill Edna. Because, and it sounds so mercenary and mundane, but without Edna's money, I knew that I could never have Sue Ellen. But kill? How do you kill? Murder. Ending the life of another human being. Forever. I couldn't murder Edna. I couldn't. I wouldn't. And yet, as long as Edna lived, I would be forced to do without Sue Ellen. And for me, that would be worse than death. Edna?
Oh, good morning, darling.
I suppose it's true.
What's true?
What Arnold tells me, that you spend so much of your time here in the Serpentarium.
Oh, I'm just fascinated by Nijinsky. I think we're beginning to communicate.
You are?
I think what he's trying to tell me is, please don't be afraid. I mean you no harm. Let us be friends.
He says that?
Well, no, he doesn't say that in so many words. It's the thought that he's trying to communicate.
I see.
And he is succeeding.
Is he? How can you tell?
Because each day I become less and less afraid.
Oh?
And one day, I know, I just know, I'll walk in here and Nijinsky and I will look at each other and smile. And all the fear will be gone from my heart. And I'll be able to say to Nijinsky, come, old friend, why don't we go walking together?
You mean you'll actually let him out of his cage?
His prison. Why not? He is being shut up there because of the evil that's in my heart, not in his.
Well,
it'll be the greatest challenge of my life, a test of how I really feel. And I hope to be ready for it.
Do you? When?
Why do you ask?
Well, so that I will be able to lock you up in your room until the foolishness passes.
I don't really know when. It could happen to me tomorrow, or next week, or next month, next year, or never. Oh, I shouldn't have said a word to you about it.
Darling, I'm your husband, and I love you.
And I love you. But two people can never completely become one. There's always a tiny secret place in the heart that... Well, that's my tiny secret place. Hello?
Sue Ellen, darling.
Oh, it's you.
Is that the chump?
It's the chump.
Sue Ellen, darling.
Well, where are you?
I'm at home.
Oh, you're at home. That's nice. What have you got to say to me?
Hang up on him.
He pays the rent, remember?
I just wanted to tell you, things will be looking up very soon.
That's what you said last night.
I know.
And the night before? Mary, you stop that now.
You and I will be married very soon, darling.
Have you asked her for a divorce?
No, but...
But what? Mary.
I've got something better planned.
What could be better?
Now, just be patient.
How long am I supposed to be patient?
Just a little while longer.
And what do I do in the meanwhile? Sit around all alone every night? Perry, you're terrible.
Sue Ellen, I love you. I need you. Soon, I'll be able to give you everything your heart has ever desired. Tell me you love me.
Honey, you know I love you.
I have to know that. I have to be sure of that. And now I see what I have to do. Goodbye, darling. I'll be with you soon. Very soon. And I'll be free.
Chester? He hung up.
Well, let's see, baby. Where were we?
Darling, would you mind terribly if I went into the city this evening?
Of course not, dear.
It's these same people at the club. You know, the ones I told you about.
Oh, yes.
For some reason, I can't imagine why, they seem to think I have a knowledge of land values.
Well, Chester, you are a very capable person.
Oh. Well, this thing may run late, so don't wait up for me.
I will. I always feel, well, incomplete unless you're in the house with me.
I'll always remember how she looked. She was almost pretty when she had that shy smile on her face. But would it be murder? If all I did was help her to kill herself? She had this insane affinity for a lethally poisonous snake. Sooner or later, she would release him from his cage in the mad delusion that he was her dear friend. Would it be murder? No. It isn't murder. Look at him. This enormous monster coiled in his cage, sleeping. No one had seen me enter this house of crawling, murderous creatures. Here on the side is the latch. All I need do is turn it to open and just slide the glass a few inches to the side. And when he wakes up... Oh, no. Don't wake up just yet. Give me my chance to get out of here. That's it. Sleep soundly. And when morning comes, you'll notice the opening, and you'll slither out. And when she walks in here, you'll greet her the way a poisonous snake usually greets people. Good night, Nijinsky.
Maybe I better leave.
Why, Shook?
Well, maybe, well, you know, the chump.
Oh, the chump never shows up unless he calls first. And you know something? I'm getting sick and tired of Mr. Chester Masefield.
Well, darling, let's not be hasty. You know, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yes, well. This horse is kind of old and lame.
Hey, what's that? Does he have a key?
Oh, my goodness. It's Chester.
Sue Ellen, I have wonderful news. Sue Ellen, what is...
Not Chester, darling. Let me explain.
Explain? What? Why don't I just get out of here and leave you two to...
Stay where you are.
I don't see how you can stop me.
I said stay where you are.
Well, now listen, please. Please be careful.
Stay where you are and shut up.
Chester, Angel, you don't need that gun. I can explain.
Shut up.
Why did you come here with a gun?
Why? What made me bring the gun? I must have known deep down inside that I would have to use it.
Please, Chester, don't talk that way.
I'm going to kill you.
No, please.
And him also.
Now, look, mister, please, what did we ever do to you?
And what did you do to me?
All we were doing was having fun. Would you going to kill us for that?
Chester, you're an old man. You just weren't enough.
Don't kill us. Look, mister, I don't want to die.
You'll never laugh at me again. Never. Edna. I have to save Edna. Maybe he's still asleep. Maybe he's still in his cage. I'll just slide the glass closed again and lock the... He's out. I'll have to kill him. Oh, no. Empty. Keep away from me. Keep away. I can't move. Why can't I move? Keep away. Keep... No.
I'm sorry, Miss Masefield.
Thank you, Arnold.
I don't understand. What are you doing inside here? Latch, the cage was open.
Yes.
Why did he let Nijinsky out?
It's my fault.
Your fault? Why'd you say that?
I must have given him the idea. Maybe he wanted to show me that he would do it first.
Uh-huh.
He was becoming interested in animals. Toward the end, he had become a much more gentle person.
But Nijinsky shouldn't have been able to kill him.
How could he miss with those lethal fangs?
Miss Masefield, I got to make a confession. When I heard you talk one day, you know, pet Nijinsky, you scared me so much that, well, I had the vet sneak in here and remove his poison sacks.
Well, then, why did Mr. Masefield die?
Well, I guess that's something we'll never know.
But we know. Chester Masefield died because, in so many cases, fear itself is more than enough, especially when it's aided by a guilty conscience. As William F. Cody, better known as Buffalo Bill, used to say, if a man is scared enough of a gun, you can kill him with a blank cartridge. I'll be back shortly.
If you take a look at the 1975 cars, you'll notice a European influence. And there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans. One being Buick's new Skylark SR, with its touring car interior and spirited little V6 engine. But don't think of the Skylark SR as a European tourer. We're proud of the fact that it's a Buick. You will be too.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Many families would like to visit their relatives in the upstate prisons, but they cannot afford it. So a few churches and other organizations got together to provide the buses and lodging so they may visit their relatives upstate.
The God we worship expects us to remember our neighbors and to help them. Join with others at your local church or synagogue and start treating your brothers and sisters like brothers and sisters. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Advertising Council, and this station.
There are many lessons that we may learn from our little morality play, and one of them teaches us that a man who falls in love with a girl who is half his age can only please her half as much, even if he tries twice as hard. However, we realize the futility of trying to give advice in these matters of the heart. The only meaningful advice we can give you is to tune in again. Our cast included Elliot Reed, Joan Loring, Leon Janney, E.V. Juster, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight. Stand by.
Here's how you can give all year and get that warm, Christmassy feeling of love and help and giving. Simply call for the Salvation Army truck to come and get your usable discards. Items you aren't using are needed for the full-time rehabilitation program. To help people recover from many kinds of handicaps, emotional as well as physical. The need goes on all the time, at all times of the year, in spring and autumn and winter, and in the good old summertime. It's like giving a little bit of Christmas whenever you have clothing or furniture to spare. Spread around the warm feeling of love and help and giving. And while you're at it, clear out the garage. give all year by calling for the Salvation Army truck.
The vote was 91 to 22 over vigorous protests from the United States, Britain, and France. The move follows an unsuccessful attempt to expel South Africa from the General Assembly in September. More news in a minute.
Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story. The Democratic sweep.
Now the morning after.
Last week, the Democrats scored their greatest midterm election triumph since 1958.
But as one prominent Democrat put it, the heat's on us now.
What are the challenges and who will face them?
Time puts it all in perspective with an analysis of Republican disasters in the state election.
The new gubernatorial scoreboard.
The impressive freshman class in the Senate.
The new faces and new strains in the House.
And the record-breaking number of women elected to political office.
In Time's essay this week, some steps to stop oil black.
Energy conservation is possible, practical, and essential.
And Time catalogs some of the best means at hand for getting oil prices back to normal.
In the world, a shocking report by a former missionary and part-time correspondent for Time who was kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured by the Brazilian military police.
In show business, Duke and Sister Kate, an offbeat, off-camera look at John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn as they wrap up their first picture together.
This is Time this week.
Each week, throughout the world, more people get their news from Time than from any other single source.
Contract talks between the United Mine Workers and the coal industry are scheduled to resume later this morning after the union considers the latest industry offer. Last night, the industry made what it considers a very complete package that it says could end the day-old nationwide coal strike. One union official said he was very, very optimistic that they could wrap up the talks very soon. The Watergate cover-up and conspiracy trial continues today in Washington with testimony expected from Frederick LaRue. Prosecution witness Herbert Kalmbach has testified that LaRue sometimes approved delivery of cash to the original Watergate burglars. Jed DeVal reports that yesterday was a difficult one for Kalmbach.
Kalmbach told of his respect for and friendship with John Ehrlichman. Kalmbach, who raised money for political campaigns and was good at it, told how he was brought into raising money for the Watergate defendants, began to doubt what he was doing, asked Ehrlichman for and got assurance that it was proper. Kalmbach broke once, weeping, after telling that one pile of cash, $75,000, came from a friend who asked what it was for, but Kalmbach couldn't tell him. A tape was played, a telephone conversation the two held, which Ehrlichman recorded, unbeknownst to Kalmbach. Through it all, Kalmbach insisted he thought the money was for legal defense and family support only. When the jury was out of the room, Judge Sirica cross-examined Kalmbach on that point, sounding skeptical that Kalmbach, an experienced attorney, did not know it might be hush money. Kalmbach said when he came to the conclusion that what he was doing was improper, he quit the job. Jed DeVal, CBS News, Washington.
More in a minute.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink. Duvernay.
Before, that's the time to think about some Duvernay to drink. Before a meal by day or night, it helps to whet your appetite. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Duvernay.
Think of Duvernay as an appetizer. It's the wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It helps to whet your appetite, whether you serve it straight, on the rocks, with a twist, or soda. Duvernay before makes what comes after that much better. Duvernay. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before.
A product of USA. Duvernay Company, New York, New York.
The pilot of a small plane is reported missing in southern Utah after his plane collided with an Air Force F-111A bomber. An FAA spokesman in Denver told CBS News that the collision involving a light passenger plane and one of the bombers occurred during refueling maneuvers for the military plane. The two Air Force pilots parachuted to safety. In Thailand, a crewman on board an American Air Force F-4 fighter bomber was killed Wednesday when the plane crashed near a practice bombing range. The Air Force says the pilot parachuted to safety. Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Bonneville Power Administration officials say permanent repairs are now complete on 8 of 11 Bonneville Power Administration towers damaged in connection with that $1 million extortion attempt. The BPA official said the three towers that toppled are semi-permanently repaired, as he put it, and should hold up through the winter. Repair costs are estimated at $150,000. The director of the Forestry Research for Weyerhaeuser Company says the energy crisis may be a real blessing in disguise for the forest industry. George Stabler told the Pacific Logging Congress the implications of the energy shortage are causing a series of new hard looks at wood as a resource. He said the nation is undergoing a rather sharp awakening to a number of realities that got lost in the confetti and ticker tape of the great environmental parade of the last 5 years. He said environmentalists led opposition to the Alaska pipeline, but said after Americans waited in line for gas, it was a whole new ball game. He said some materials that became substitutes for wood products in modern times generally require more energy than the wood-based material they replaced. He said by every criterion, it's a safe bet that somehow, somewhere, we must learn to produce more wood. Grangemaster John Scott says shoppers don't worry about the price of their beer and don't worry about the price of their new television set, but he said the one essential of life, food, seems to be the area attacked all the time. Delegates from 38 states met in closed-door sessions to determine national policy for the 600,000-member fraternal organization. Scott said consumers should pressure the federal government to keep prices down. Oregon Congressman Wendell Wyatt told the Pacific Logging Congress in Reno, Nevada, that America needs strong leadership and centralized control over both the timber industry and the energy field. Wyatt says an energy czar must be appointed to develop a clean policy on energy, or it will become a worse problem than all the others troubling the country. Wyatt says there are 12 governmental agencies involved in the timber industry, and there is no one person with the authority to determine policy and implement it. Well, although official silence is in effect, it appears increasingly evident that Alaska's unresolved race for governor is headed for court. Democratic Governor William Egan trails his Republican challenger Ray Hammond by a nearly unsurmountable 664 votes. Senator Henry Jackson of Washington says recycling is all right for tin cans and some other things, but it won't work with oil funds. He made the comment in London today. He's in that city for the annual conference of the North Atlantic Assembly. And at least two Oregon mayors say they'll leave office rather than comply with the financial disclosure law approved by Oregon voters in the general election. They're Mayor Earl Johnson of Warrenton and Mayor Archie Fries of Ashland. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, mostly fair through Thursday with late night and morning fog, lows in the mid-40s, highs near 60, chance of rain less than 10% through Wednesday. Currently, the downtown Portland temperature is 57 degrees. That's KOIN AM/FM News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.